Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Well, the system's trying to get the Ken Doll carbon tax abortion lover in so he can be a ringer for Obama Hillary. Insiders are telling Time Magazine that's the ticket. The placeholder, Biden stepping aside. Lord Hillary, the butcher of Waco, the butcher of Oklahoma City, getting ready to step in. Get ready for an Obama-Clinton ticket. And of course, the entire mainstream media for a day and a half is saying, where's Hillary, where's Obama? When they didn't know if she was going to step down on the ticket 4 years ago. And I was right there. They drove by the Secret Service aiming machine guns at us. They were inside. And I called the media and they said, we don't report, but we're not told to report because we're a bunch of scum. So there you go. That's their job, folks. You got to really get it. It's not a bias. It's a military enemy propaganda arm there to keep you in the dark, there to spin, there to twist. Now the Obama administration is secretly preparing options for aiding Syrian opposition. That's already going on. Again, we've got reports where the union leader publisher says Ron Paul is truly dangerous. We've got Krauthammer, who's an embarrassing person, coming out and talking about embarrassing candidates. Ron Paul is embarrassing them. He's against all the corporate welfare. He actually doesn't want to be, he wants to keep the Constitution and not have military on the streets. Oh, well, but like the New York Times and others say, it's kooky that Ron Paul's worried about troops on the streets, even as they set up checkpoints all over the country. Local newspapers are reporting, oh, there's military checkpoints. Oh, drones are tracking citizens now in North Dakota. Oh, but it's still kooky. It is, and I don't think that can be explained by anything that the president has done in a positive way. Syndicated columnist Krauthammer. I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you. Oh, wonderful. Hey, Governor Ventura, I appreciate you calling in. I know we talked yesterday and you said you'd pop in for 10 minutes. Good to talk to you.
Oh, always good to talk to you, Alex. How's it going?
It's going great. We're about to go to break and come back, and I appreciate you giving us 10 minutes when I twisted your arm yesterday. I know you weren't sure when you could call in, but I wanted to get into Ron Paul with you since we were talking about him yesterday on the phone.
Well, why don't you go to break like you're supposed to and come back and we'll talk Ron Paul.
That's awesome. We got a few minutes right now. Let's go ahead and kick the ball off right now. Wow, the system is in panic mode over him.
Oh, absolutely, and I'll tell you why. He is the only candidate out there, including President Obama, who naturally is going to represent the Democrats, of course, and all of these Republican candidates. He is the only candidate that is anti-war. And this country better wake up to the fact that we've, you know, Alex, I'm 60 years old now, and we have been at war for over half of my life.
And they act like it's bizarre. And
bizarre behavior. Newt Gingrich says he's out of mainstream. This guy's out of touch. Well, if he is, then we are a country of war. But I don't believe so. I believe there's an underlying unrest in this country right now, that we're tired of war, we're sick of it, and I guarantee you pretty much, if any of these other guys get elected, you're going to see a war with Iran.
Oh, you're right, and I want you to repeat all this, recap it, and expand on it. This is about the heart and soul of America. Another preemptive war, lying and saying another country has nukes. It's a total replay of what we saw with Iraq. And Ron Paul is just talking total common sense, and they're acting like that's bizarre, kind of like somebody, I guess, in 1939, if you criticize Hitler.
I can't believe, I watched the debates, and it was interesting a couple weeks ago where he got into a battle with Michelle Bachmann, and Ron Paul made a great statement. He said, imagine where would we be today had John F. Kennedy not talked to Nikita Khrushchev during the Cuban Missile Crisis. By the way, that was when Ron Paul was serving in the Navy. And had those two not spoken during that crisis and worked things out talking, we probably, the Earth would not exist today.
Let's start over right there, Governor. We've only got him for 10 minutes on the other side. We really appreciate him joining us today, surprise guest.
Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, joining us for one segment is Governor Jesse Ventura. He's getting ready to go down to Mexico, so he's in a hurry. But I was talking to him privately yesterday about what's happening in the world, trying to find out if he's going to be running for Libertarian. And he just wanted to talk about Ron Paul. So he's here to talk about Ron Paul in this one segment. Then Dr. Doug Rocky joins us, former Minnesota governor, host of the hit TV show on True TV, conspiracy theory, best-selling author. Jesse Ventura joins us for one segment. Governor, we have both parties, hundreds of publications, New York Times, CBS Nightly News, all attacking Ron Paul and saying he's nuts because he doesn't want to attack more countries with made-up WMD stories. They're openly have gotten rid of posse comitatus and are announcing secret arrest of citizens with the NDAA. They're in the news saying it's insane that he doesn't want troops on the streets. All of this is happening, and it's like the Twilight Zone. Ron Paul is just a mainline, old-fashioned American, and then we've got the crazies telling us that we're crazy because we don't support total tyranny. Governor, give us your breakdown on this.
Well, it's as simple as this, I think. If people truly are looking for an attempt at change in this country, changing who we are and what we will be in the future, then there is only one candidate, and that is Congressman Ron Paul. He's the only candidate that wants to audit the Federal Reserve. You notice that the other candidates won't even talk about the Federal Reserve. He's the only candidate that wants to talk rather than wage war. So I think this will truly be an agenda for the United States of America, an agenda to determine what we stand for. Do we stand for being the most aggressive, warmongering country in the world, who's all set to now to go to war with Iran too? Or are we going to be a country that stands for peace? You know, let's remember the last president that wanted peace and was attempting to get it. There would have been no Vietnam. The Cold War would have been ended by 65 was President John F. Kennedy. And there has not been a president in this country since Kennedy who has truly strived for peace. But Ron Paul is that candidate. And I think about it for a minute. I'm 60 years old now. I was born in 1951. And this country has been at war for life. Over 30 years of those 60 years, we've been at war. And if you look at the other candidates, Ron Paul served in the Navy during the Cuban Missile. But you look at the other candidates. Did any of them ever serve? Did any of them ever put their butts on the line? Did they ever go in the military? I don't think so. You know, I don't know for sure. But I'd love to see the military backgrounds of Gingrich and the guy from Massachusetts.
Romney.
Right on down the line with all of them. And the point of the matter is they call Ron Paul's foreign policy scary. I call our foreign policy scary, what it's on right now. Because all we do is go to war, one after another after another, and I'm one of the people, being a veteran, who says, stop it. That's enough of this.
Well, polls show that upwards of 70% of Americans are against all of this. The troops give more money to Ron Paul than all of the Republican candidates combined and Obama combined. And the media spins it and says, Ron Paul just graces the troops. The troops don't like Ron Paul. It's all a hoax. And more, the so-called mainstream media is being exposed as a bunch of political prostitutes who are losing all their readers and viewers.
Well, it's the truth. I mean, if you look at how they avoid talking about Dr. Paul, he can be leading in the polls and they don't do in-depth stories on him. Nothing like that. The media is in the back pocket of the status quo. And I can't emphasize more. If people in this country want a revolution, and a revolution doesn't have to be violent, but if they want a revolution, if they want a change in direction, truly, of where this country is headed, then Ron Paul is the only choice out there right now, out of the current candidates in the Republican and Democratic field. He is the only one. He's the only one that says we ought to talk before we shoot. Talk first, they're doing in this little strip of ocean over there. Iran's threatening to block it off, and the U.S. has already threatened if Iran does that, we're going to go to war with them, basically.
And look what's happening. Iran, who imports 50-plus percent of its gasoline, they don't have the refineries, it's been announced they're going to shut that off to them, devastating them. And they say, okay, if you shut us off, we'll shut off our territorial waters. So yesterday, they sent a U.S. aircraft carrier through the giant Iranian drill as a provocation. And the Pentagon has said, if you block it, we will attack you. But the West, as Ron Paul has said, is already putting these sanctions on and blockades. You're a Navy guy, and Ron Paul's pointed it out. That is a act of war right there, a blockade.
Absolutely. And what it does, if people go back in history, we did the same thing to Japan. They blockaded Japan. They stopped all, you know, a total blockade of the country of Japan, which forced Japan truly to then attack us. They were left with two choices, surrender or attack. Japan chose the latter. They chose to attack us at Pearl Harbor. But a lot of people forget we forced their hand at Pearl Harbor by the blockade we had against them. And the same holds true with Iran now. We're blockading them. We're forcing their hand. And they're, you know, all of these candidates just wait and hope that Iran will do something, that Iran will respond so that then they can all stand up there and say, see, we told you, all the problems of the world are because of Iran. And now we're getting them.
Meanwhile, our government, as you know, has overthrown them at least two times, evidence of a third as well. Shifting gears here because it's the top of Drudge Report right now. Kelly Clarkson, the American Idol winner, which is about as big as it gets nowadays in America, says she loves Ron Paul. It's a big deal when prominent celebrities, not just governors, that's even more important, endorse Ron Paul. I haven't seen any news where they've, you know, given your support to Ron Paul. Do you want to publicly state, Governor Ventura, that you are endorsing Ron Paul?
Absolutely. I'm an independent, and I don't, you know, get involved with either political party, but because I despise both of them. But out of all the candidates out there in these two major parties right now, and that's the president with the Democrats, and there's seven or eight Republicans, whoever they all are. I mean, I know who they are, but why list them? Ron Paul has Governor Jesse Ventura's endorsement without a doubt. It's not even close, because I want a new president that's going to change the direction of this country. I want a new president that's going to follow the Constitution. I want a new president that's going to believe in states' rights. I want a new president. I want somebody that will shock the status quo.
Yes.
And Ron Paul will do that. Then the only thing we have to worry about is keeping him alive.
Well, what a dangerous precedent where both political party leadership say, anybody who could ever potentially be a threat, we've got to preemptively attack them. That's what Hitler said. He said, I've got to attack France, and I've got to attack Poland, and I've got to attack England and the Russians, because they might attack us. I mean, that's what tyrants always say.
Let me give this one out to you. Hypothetical situation, Alex, for all you and your listeners. Let's say Hugo Chavez down in Venezuela, who's got a lot of money, and he fears the United States because of our military buildup and all this, and he fears that we could attack them at any moment because he kicked out Exxon. Well, what if Hugo Chavez went and got one of these unmanned drones? And what if Hugo Chavez flew that unmanned drone over United States airspace seeking to get intelligence about our war machine? And what if that drone crashed in our country? I would like to pose the question to every one of these Republican candidates and state this. If you were the president, what would you do if that happened? And I'll bet you their response would sound very Iranian, wouldn't it?
Well, they would probably actually say attack the country, the Iranians.
I agree. I think that the United States, if an unmanned drone flew over our airspace, was surveillance, using it for surveillance on us and crashed here in our country, just as we did in Iran, we would declare war on whatever country that was.
We now take you live
to the Central Texas Command Center
in the heart of the resistance. You're listening to the Alex Jones Show.
The entire architecture of the COG system is pointed at legitimate constitutional government, the states, the governors, the general public. You see drones being activated against rural communities in North Dakota for cows on their property. You see state reps and governors calling for military to be on the streets of Illinois and Louisiana. It's all happening right now because the world economy is preparing to implode. It's all part of an organized program that we warned you about 12, 13 years ago when they got rid of Glass-Steagall to sell derivatives of the planet, get the planet to tie into that fraudulent debt and then implode the legitimate governments of this world and fold them into a private corporate banking cartel system that the technocrats and the kleptocrats call the New World Order. Now, you'll know that 2 weeks ago we were sent by state employees documents that were public, but no one had pointed them out, with Kellogg, Brown, and Root, who'd been given the contracts, according to Wall Street Journal in 2006, the contracts to build giant FEMA camps for emergencies across America. Then we got new documents a few weeks ago that they were now getting on 72-hour notice, local teams ready of subcontractors to man them on a 72-hour notice or three-day notice. Then expanding from that point, we received more documents that the Department of Defense was involved and that FEMA was basically orchestrating the entire operation. Then today, a frequent caller who gets through on the radio, Angie, in the Carolinas called, and I talked to her off air, and she said, no, you know, my husband works for the Department of Defense. You know, that's why we keep pointing this stuff out to you. This is on the official federal government websites for contractors. And you need to understand, it's got blue group designations. I went, wait, I've been to urban warfare operations. It's blue and red. In Afghanistan, it's blue and red. Now, they were transponders. He's like, that's right. Here's the document. I'm emailing it to you. It's public. And we went and pulled it up. And sure enough, I recognized everything in there from the drills I've been to. First one was in 1999. And the Marines even let us in there in Oakland to their situation area in a big tent. And it had the red group fighting the blue group, who were the militias. And then I went in where they were doing interrogations of actors who were playing the part of U.S. citizens. And they would ask, where'd you get the weapons? And later the Marines freaked out that I was able to get this footage, and we were threatened. We were told, well, this was classified. You shouldn't have seen it. And it's in my film, Police State 2000. The Sunshine Project here in Texas got documents through Foyer where the Marines are training with drones and helicopters with pilots with opiate knockout gases and plans to knock out whole cities during insurrection. And you can pull this up. The Sunshine Project was threatened, and the government said, you know, remove that or we'll come after you. It was accidentally declassified. I mean, this is the type of stuff I learned, and I'm like, we got to warn people. Now, that said, we went ahead and talked to Angie off air, and then I talked to her husband, and I was telling him, sir, you know, we probably don't want to use your name because you work as a civil servant, former Navy veteran, in the Department of Defense in some pretty highly classified areas, and he didn't get into any of that with us. And he said, no, I want to have my name public. This country is in so much trouble that this stuff's all public. It's just people don't know where to look, that I'm going to go ahead and use my full name, and I'm going to go ahead and speak out here because America's all on the line right now. I mean, this is really creepy stuff when they're openly passing the NDAA, saying they'll arrest U.S. citizens. It was on the news today. They're saying they'll kill U.S. citizens if they want. Obama says he'll kill U.S. citizens in America. In fact, that was on C-SPAN a few nights ago. We've got that video. It's overwhelming what's happening. And now all over the news, they're saying use the military on the streets to protect the American people. They're selling us on this. The TSA is now running checkpoints on highways. This is classical martial law, as Ron Paul said last Tuesday on my radio show. The NDAA, the National Defense Authorization Act, is martial law. So Joe Joseph works for the Department of Defense in some very highly classified areas and with space-enabled warfare, but we'll leave it at that because that's all he can say. And he basically wants to warn the public about what's open intelligence of what's happening. And he also told me off air, and he's going to repeat it, a lot of people in the military and Defense Department are awake. These are good people, by and large. That's why 70%+ of all donations to Republicans and to Obama in this race and the last are to Ron Paul, because they know Ron Paul's telling the truth. They know. They had a Bloomberg article 2 weeks ago, a headline, "Pay this man money so he can fire you," was the joke headline, because he says he'll cut government. The people in government realize you've got to get rid of this cancer. They'd rather be homeless than let this tyranny go through. So joining us is Joe Joseph, Department of Defense civil servant, to break down the National Continuity Program, NCP program, mission support activities, which is unprecedented. We have our article that is at Infowars.com that just went up minutes ago, going through all of this that I'll give you the title of. Right now, it's military to designate U.S. citizens as enemies during collapse. FEMA continuity of government plan prep total takeover of society, dispatching military domestically under economic collapse emergency. And that's what's so important. We are designated the exact same way combatants in Afghanistan or Iraq are, or Libya. Joe Joseph, again, thank you for joining us over the phone.
Well, I'm glad to be here, Alex.
Well, I've talked enough at the start of the show and in your intro. This is complex subject matter. Why are you going public? What can you tell the people that's open source?
Well, as a civil servant, you know, everybody takes an oath, no matter what level of service that you provide to the country. And it's the same oath that the president takes all the way down to active duty military. And when you take that oath to support and defend the Constitution, you're supposed to take it seriously, I guess you could say. So with that said, it's my duty to provide the people who are my boss with information to make them aware, because, you know, an informed public can really make a difference, but they have to do something. They can't sit on their hands and just sit there and let this stuff happen. And that's gone on for far too long. So hopefully by giving this information out, we can raise some awareness and get people angry. And that's really what needs to happen. I mean, people need to get angry. We need to see civil disobedience. You know, you don't have to consent. Silence is consent in the eyes of the law. And that's the biggest thing that people need to understand. Don't be silent anymore. It's time to speak out. You know, you brought up Ron Paul. Ron Paul is probably the last best hope we have right now to turn things around. He's it. And that's why, like you said, active duty military is the largest contributor to his campaign. Out of all the other candidates combined, he gets more than they do. So it's very important that we take the time now so that our children don't end up having, I can't even imagine the world that they're going to live in, considering what we deal with now.
Well, it's a world, Joe, where Corzine can take $1 billion+ and be caught in perjury, and he isn't even going to get in trouble.
Absolutely.
Defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic. It's Alex Jones.
The people have the power in this country. The powers that be, this elitist cabal that runs things, and they do, the special interest, they pull the puppet strings of our non-representing representatives. They're the ones that put up this smoke screen to have you think you don't have the power. But it's your labor that funds all of these efforts, all of these illegal wars and everything else. And you have the power. Each and every person listening to this show tonight has the power to change things. And that's why I'm here, is because I feel compelled, I feel duty-bound to educate people and give them the knowledge, arm them with the knowledge to be able to fight back.
Well said, Joe. Now, we've got in front of us what your wife directed us to.
Yes.
You know, there with your family in the background today, and you're home from work now and can cover it. Statement of work Federal Emergency Management Agency National Continuity Program. She sent us emails linking to, you know, public contracts last week, and she called up this week and said, look, you got the wrong documents. Yes, Department of Defense gave out the contracts to prepare activating the FEMA camps, but this is the one that gets into the total takeover of government, and it says COG, break-ins on media, surveillance, the Blue Force. Go through this document with us.
It's a fascinating document. And first of all, just so everybody understands, this is all public information. This is what's called a solicitation for contract. And basically, the government has a website, fedbizops.gov, where they put out draft statements of work, and contractors will go and bid for the work. It's a very convoluted, hard to search through system, which is why things are very easy to overlook. You know, case in point, if you wanted to look up contracts, you know, you type in Department of Homeland Security, you're going to see thousands of contracts that come up, and you'd have to comb through each and every one of them to find it unless you know the keywords and the key acronyms.
Well, it's got 35 agencies under it. It's probably hundreds of thousands of contracts.
Absolutely. I mean, and like I said, and that's just, you know, that's just, that's what makes it so difficult. So I can totally understand how, you know, it may have been missed or misinterpreted, and it's very easy to do. You know, I just recently saw a solicitation, Department of Education, wanting 500 militarized shotguns. Really? You know, but this is all public information. So this,
and expanding on that, I've probably been to 20 urban warfare drills, researched this for 14 years, 13 years or so, because I wasn't onto this the first few years on air. And when I read these documents, I understand some of it, but it's all meant to be Greek. It's all put in a military contractor parlance where the general public doesn't know what blue groups against red groups mean.
Exactly right. Well, let me go with this. I'm on page 3 of the document, and this is, there's only certain paragraphs that you really have to key in on to understand what it's all about. And it says, other efforts of the Operations Division, and Operations Division is exactly that. They oversee the operations of continuity of government. They are the contractor support with government oversight. So other efforts of the Operations Division includes initiatives such as Operation Rendezvous, or OPRON, Task Force Rendezvous, the development and integration of the Federal Emergency Response Official Repository System, National Security Special Event Contingency Support, Disaster Relief, and Humanitarian Assistance Contingency Support. And then it says additional efforts of the Operations Division include Geospatial Information System, which is like a tactical battlefield information. It gives a battlefield picture.
That's what I saw with the Marines with big projectors on the wall where they had the satellites real time.
Yes.
Where they had the transponders as blue group. The militias they were practicing fighting in California were red group.
Right.
And they had Humvees with robot guns that anybody not in blue group was going to be killed. And this was 12 years ago.
Well, I mean, it's advanced. Same concept, but the technology has advanced somewhat. Blue Force situational awareness is what you're talking about. And in that sense, it's much like for years, for example, commercial aircraft have a transponder on it. And that system is called Interrogation Friend or Foe, IFF. That's what that stands for. And basically, Blue Force situational awareness is the exact same thing that you have with commercial aircraft, military aircraft, and everything else. They have a transponder where a signal goes out, the plane responds, and then on the operator's screen, you're going to either have like a circle, a square, or a triangle. And it's going to be either a circle for friendly, it's going to be a square for unknown, and a triangle for bad guy. And so that's what you have. Blue Force situational awareness is exactly that. So you, because of today's technology, I mean, a transponder can be, look at RFID.
Well, our cell phones have little triangulators, so we know they've actually used those. And so they've got a full battlefield scope. They can tie into cameras on the street, surveillance systems, satellites, drones, any of it. And so they know friend or foe. And this is talking about in continuity of government with camps, having people with their transponder badges in the blue group against the red group, and the red group is the American people, I guess.
Right. Well, this is the scary thing about when you talk Blue Force situational awareness. The first thing that I think about when I think of that is overseas in Afghanistan and Iraq and Libya and wherever we're waging illegal wars. That's where I envision Blue Force situational awareness. What I don't envision is having Blue Force situational awareness on our own soil, because it's almost too crazy to wrap your arms around. It's just too much to understand.
It's what Ron Paul said. NDAA is a declaration of war against the American people.
It is. It truly is. And you know, even if, and here's the thing that people need to understand: a lot of these representatives and senators, of course, they don't read the bills. They don't do that. Same thing in government. These draft statements of work, 9 times out of 10, are written by the contractor, submitted back to the government, and the guy there, you know, he's just like, oh, well, yeah, okay, I'll just pass this on through. Okay, fine, put my signature on it, and out it goes. So oftentimes, they don't even know what's in there. They just know that they get an overview. Okay, this is there, this is there, this is there. Make sure that you guys hit this point, and this point, and then they ship it on through. So if a company like Halliburton, who we know has ties to this elitist cabal, goes and writes a statement of work, there's no telling what's in there, and that's why it's important.
Oh, wow, I get it. They're actually influencing policy by the way the contracts are written, and
absolutely,
the higher-ups don't even understand that.
Right, exactly right. That's the thing that people don't understand, is that part of the dumbing down of society, it hasn't only affected the masses. It's affected government as well. A lot of these government employees now don't even know how to write a statement of work. You know? And so,
well, look, I've been studying this particular type of thing for 13, 14 years, and I barely have an elementary understanding. And I guess it's part of the complexity of the world allows corruption to hide in it.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's another on this is extremely interesting, is on page 5. They come out with Mount Weather Emergency Operations Center. Now, I've been doing this for probably 3 or 4 years now. And like I said before, off air, it's because of you that I woke up and listening
to
yourself.
Yeah, Mount Weather is one of the alternate government heads, along with Colorado Springs and
right,
Cheyenne Mountain. I mean, they've made movies about martial law where Mount Weather runs it all.
Well, exactly right. But for years and years, they denied the existence of Mount Weather. And now, and when I say that, I mean, yes, we know Mount Weather's there. And they say, yes, it's a 564-acre Department of Homeland Security facility. But what people don't understand is, hey, look, it's a deep underground military base. It's one of those, just like Cheyenne Mountain and everything else.
Pretender.
was asking, when do we get violent? The first person to shoot loses. We're not looking for a fight, but I'll tell you, my ideology, my worldview is not like Gandhi's. It's a mix of George Washington and Mahatma Gandhi. I understand the globalists want violence up front, and they want to characterize people who are against their tyranny as the criminals and as the disorder. The globalists are criminals. They are the disorder, hiding behind their three-piece suits and behind their stolen billions and the military and police that they've tried to brainwash. But the good news is the police and military are waking up. And you know, 10 years ago, I wasn't saying that. I can go over all the evidence, but I want to go to Gerald Celente. The point is 70-plus percent of all donations for the military are to Ron Paul, for both parties, all presidential candidates. Police are supporting Ron Paul. Bloomberg bemoaned it last month, saying, give this man your money so he can fire you, and pointed out, guess who gets the majority of federal employee donations? Ron Paul. That tells you the folks inside the federal government know what's going on. They're sitting there watching what's happening. They're just paymasters who pay the stolen money out to the mega corporations. They know. In fact, it's easier to wake up military and police than anybody else because they actually live in the real world. They're seeing what we're talking about. I can't tell you how many letters I get, how many emails, how many calls. You've heard them, where police officers say nothing made sense. I've been on the force 20 years, 10 years, whatever the case is, until I started listening. And everything I'd always questioned, didn't understand, now it makes perfect sense. You took me outside the compartmentalization. You didn't show me how to see. You pointed out what was already there. You woke me up. When you wake somebody up, all you do is say, get up. You're not doing the work. You're just get up. You're up. You're awake. Now you see. You see the same thing I see. You're not believing what Alex Jones is saying. You're not buying into what I'm saying. You're seeing. You're seeing it. All right. Gerald Celente is a great friend of the show, and we really appreciate him coming on right here near the end of the year to give us his 12 trends first here. For our audience, you can get the full details at trendsresearch.com, where his trend alerts and everything else are posted. But he's giving it to us here first. I tried to get him on the last 2 weeks, and he said, well, I'm traveling. Plus, Alex, I'm writing the 12 trends, deep analysis. I'd love to come on, but I've got to come on once this is ready. So you're hearing it here first, and he'll be with us, I guess, 5 minutes to the next hour, and then he's got to go. But we're very honored to have Gerald Celente of TrendsResearch.com. And I have here in my hot little hands the top 12 trends of 2012. But, Gerald, let me ask you the question this way today, because I've read over these trends. Some of it is new. Some of it is basically tweaked analysis that you've already gone over. But a lot of this is key groundbreaking material, and we respect your analytical mind when it comes to this. But do you want to give us an MF Global update first, or get into the top trends first? And then I want to air this clip of the head of the CME group confirming, so he's gone from criticizing you to now agreeing with you and saying Corzine did take the money and is lying.
Well, the update is this. So far I've gotten, they've reinstituted about 70% of the lost funds in my type of account. Having said that, it's only part of the story, because what happened is when they closed out my positions, I remember I bought gold at $1,443 an ounce that I was going to pick up in December. When they took all the money out, they closed the positions down the day they went bankrupt. And they remember I showed you the corrected statement. It was now $1,765 an ounce, not $1,443. So when they went bankrupt and they closed and my positions closed out in December, I had to sell them. And I didn't buy them according to them at $1,443. I bought them at $1,765. So I had to eat those losses. So now I have that problem on my hand. Now here's the best part of the deal. You know, I want whatever money I have, I want to get it back, right? So I call up the broker. Remember, the way they got the name broker is that you're broker than when you started. That's how they made the name up. So now I call them up. I said, listen, wire transfer whatever money I have in there. Get it into my bank. Check it out. We can't do that. We're going to send you a check. I said, what do you mean you can't wire trans to me? I said, you guys never quit. You're really quick to take the money when I wire transfer it in, but you won't get it out. So, they won't wire transfer the money. I haven't received it yet. And now you know that story. Now it takes time for the check to clear and on and on. Now, in saying this, it's very important because, as you well know, I went public with this to warn people that what you think you have in your account really isn't yours, because they have all of these loopholes in place where your money is only as safe as the last loophole that they put in. And I don't care who it's with. It makes no difference.
By the way, I tried to go to a local bank and follow my own advice and get out some cash, and it wasn't even, quote, above the amount where they file a fence-in deal. You know, and they acted like my wife was a crook, freaked out, and then started calling me saying, we need to know your wife's occupation. It's got to go in the Federal Financial Crimes Enforcement file. And I'm like, for less than $10,000? But even if it was $10,000, I mean, what on earth? I mean, this country is a giant prison, Gerald. Everywhere you're treated like trash. And then all these little people, they get off on enforcing it on others. It's sick. It's like a nation of maggots.
You know, you really hit on it. You know, as I've been saying, you know, your money isn't yours unless you have it. End of story. Last Wednesday, I called up HSBC. And I told them that I was coming in Thursday morning at 9:30 in the morning to make a withdrawal. I gave them the amount. They said they only could give it to me in hundreds and fifties. If I wanted to wait until Monday, I could get it in hundreds. I said, that's fine. I'll take it in 150s. I couldn't make it at 9:30. I had my assistant call them up. Mr. Slenty will be in at 2:30. I go there with the check, hand it to the person I was talking to on the phone. It was like I never called. Now they tell me I have to go over. I have this video on our site. I have to go over and talk to the bank manager. So I go over there. I sit down. She looks at me, and you talked about it, these power-hungry little people. She said to me, "What? This is a sizable amount of money. What are you going to use it for?" So I said, "How about none of your business?" She said, "That's not very friendly." I said, "How about none of your effing business? How dare you ask me what I'm going to do with my money?" She said, "Well, you have to comply." I said, "You didn't ask me how I got the money in there, and now you're asking me what I'm going to do with it?"
They're saying you're a criminal. They imply you're a criminal.
Exactly. This went on for 40 minutes. I'm talking to people all over the HSBC chain. First, she tells me to leave the office. She has to talk to compliance officers.
Yeah, that's like these people that get arrested now for trying to get their own money out. Wait, are you saying you have a video where you break this down, or there's video of this?
No, I have video where I break it down. I wish I did have a video.
You want to go back in there? Oh, my God. Tell us what else happened, Gerald. Break this. Oh, my gosh.
And I'll tell you her name. Her name was Penny Demo. Try demolition. And I told her, I said, you know, I'm going to make you famous. I'm going to tell everybody what a jerk you are, and how dare you ask me what I do with my money, and now you're telling me you have to make a call to somebody, and I can't be in the room as you talk about my money.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Top trends forecaster Gerald Celente is our guest for this segment, part of the next. In the next segment, I'm going to play the clip of the head of the Chicago Mercantile Exchange a month after denying Corzine had run off the money, changing his testimony and saying he did know where it went and ordered it. And then we're going to play the clip that Gerald was just mentioning, but we're queuing it up right now to right where, when Biden says it, that they were talking about a bank holiday with their advisor, Corzine. But we're going to come back to that in a moment. Let's hurry through some of the other top 12 trends, then we'll revisit those clips at the end of the interview. Battlefield America, Gerald.
Economic martial law. They've taken our rights away from us with the National Defense Authorization Act. Everyone that's read it knows it or read the information coming out about it. So my belief is that this system is breaking down and they're ready now to make sure that we don't get out of line. So battlefield America, here we are. That's what Lindsay, that cracker from North Carolina, South Carolina, calls America, and that's what they're making it. So the battlefield is lining up so that they could instill martial law. And also, very important, Alex, is that these people are not as stupid as we think they are. They know what's going on, and they're just playing a con game to keep us con as they keep moving forward to rip us off more and more and subject us deeper and deeper into their psychopathic sickness.
By the way, it got no attention. Obama signed it Friday, and I did Google searches and couldn't find it. The guys just found it, Politico. It was a minor footnote in an article on Politico with no headline associated with it that Obama signed it. So they even signed it and didn't want the public to know.
Yeah, I didn't know. I didn't know he signed it either.
Yeah, I've got the signing statement right here.
And it did, and this never made it never this never made the major news. It was buried on page A31 in the bottom corner of the toilet paper of record, the New York Times, with a bland headline that mentioned nothing about what this law did.
Wow, but they know they're going to end up devaluing the money and stealing it. And I guess they think the military is going to protect them. What's going to happen when the military's checks don't cash?
Well, you know, the military, though, whatever happens in this country, it's happening like they happen in other third world countries. The military and the police become the enforcers for the criminal crime bosses. They'll steal enough to pay them because they'll get every nickel out of us.
Let's continue into your third trend. Let's get into invasion of the Occupy.
Yes, this is really huge. What's happened with the Octopi, as we call it, an octopi, a tentacle creature that's reaching out all over the world. Its strength is that it doesn't have a head to cut off, like a Julian Assange. WikiLeaks was putting out valuable information, but when they cut the head off, the information died. This octopi is a symptom of the war that's going on worldwide. As I've said before, when the money stops flowing down to the man on the street, the blood starts flowing in the streets. These octopies are in 80 countries, in 1,200 different cities. They're going to continue. And when you cut off one tentacle, another one grows and the old one regenerates. This is the beginning of that movement, Alex, that may change things in another direction.
Okay, let's race through the other seven or eight points. Climax time, technocrat takeover, repatriate, secession obsession, safe havens, Big Brother Internet, direct versus Fox Democracy, Alternative Energy 2012. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Final segment with Gerald Celente. I am extremely honored to be joined by Bruce Fein. His latest book is American Empire. In fact, we'll put it back up on screen for folks. American Empire Before the Fall. And we certainly are seeing the beginnings of the fall of this empire. He, of course, worked at the U.S. Department of Justice, where he served as Assistant Director of the Office of Legal Policy. He also worked in antitrust. He is a top advisor to many committees in Congress on constitutional law. He's a constitutional lawyer, and he is frequently quoted in the Financial Times of London, New York Times, you name it. And I think his greatest claim to fame is he is the senior policy advisor to Congressman and Dr. Ron Paul, who is now in the lead in Iowa and in Nevada and other key states and is under an incredible bombardment of disinformation and propaganda from the corrupt establishment on both sides, the left and right, really certifying and signifying he's the real McCoy, not just his sterling constitutional voting record. And Bruce Fine has been an advisor of his for many, many years, has been working hard on the campaign trail with him. So I want to get into what's happening in the incredible police state expansion and also what's happening with Ron Paul. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. And Ron Paul and all the support, I would say, is a manifestation of that. Bruce, thanks for joining us from D.C. What should we get into first, the giant police state power grab or Ron Paul's counter to it?
Well, I think we should get into the power grab first, because that really transcends any individual candidate. It's something that's going to come to haunt the United States, not only today, but in the future, if we survive as a genuine sovereignty that celebrates the Republic. And not only do we have this National Defense Authorization Act that Ron Paul condemned, that crowns the military with authority to detain any of us for life in the United States if the president says we're substantially aiding an associated force of the Taliban to attack coalition forces, a totally open-ended standard that now makes all of our liberties at the whim of the president. And then we have this continuity in government revelation that we discussed earlier that suspends democracy, suspends the republic in the event of some so-called emergency that the president declares, or whatever standard of emergency is, and basically pits the government against the people. That's an inversion of what the Constitution is about, which says we the people are sovereign, not the government. The government is the steward of our liberties, not the grantor of our liberties that are unalienable. And we also know from stories recently that we have surveillance drones on the southwest border, the government claiming they can surveil us from the day we step out, the moment we step out of our house until we go back into our bedroom without any probable cause, without any warrants. That's what's being made as a claim in the United States Supreme Court. We're using predator drones to kill people based upon secret evidence and secret law that the president says he can't disclose. There's no post-mortem. There's no way to hold anyone accountable for these assassinations that remind me of the Gulag archipelago of Solzhenitsyn, during the Soviet days. And it never ends. Always more encroachment on liberty. Always more encroachment on privacy. And this futile quest for so-called absolute risk-free existence, which is a guarantee of simply detaining and arresting everyone on the theory that we're not all saints. A truly horrifying, I think, development. And the incredible thing is there's so little resistance. Rand Paul voted against these kinds of bills in the Senate, but it's really a handful overall. Only 13 senators out of 100 oppose this tyrannical rule. Ron Paul himself, I think, is the one person standing as a beacon there, recognizing and willing, unlike all the other candidates, to argue against this police state that makes a safety as opposed to liberty and freedom. They are the touchstone of the country, even though the safety really is an illusion. Because when you create a belief that all citizens are disloyal, it'll create cynicism and a sense that the government then becomes illegitimate. And the greatest strength any country has is the allegiance and loyalty of its people. That's the greatest strength, and not the weapons, not the guns, things of that sort.
Certainly. I mean, in the last few decades, the military-industrial complex, the big crony capitalist, non-free market megabanks, they've tried to keep the velvet glove on the iron fist. But now, because Congress for now, 2 years, has had a 9% approval rating, even liberals, big government people say they fear big government more than the free market and corporations now. So there is an awakening. So I think the system is just dispensing with even the ceremony now. I mean, we were talking about this before we went live here. This was put on the White House website 2 weeks ago. Strategic implementation for plan for empowering local partners to prevent violent extremism in the United States. And it's a federal announcement saying domestic terror is the number one threat. And speech criticizing the government, there's bizarre quotes in here, is aiding terror. And there's a President Obama quote in here where he says, I'll read it. As a government, we are working to prevent all types of extremism. So now terrorism is extremism that leads to violence. Oh, see, the extremism, the talk leads to violence, regardless of who inspires it. And they go on to say, we're now worried about domestic groups, mainly right wing. Quote, At the same time, countering Al-Qaeda's violent ideology is one part of the comprehensive strategy to defeat Al-Qaeda. Over the past 2.5 years, more key Al-Qaeda leaders, including Osama bin Laden, have been eliminated or in rapid succession than any time since September 11th. We have strengthened homeland security and improved information sharing thanks to coordinated intelligence and law enforcement. Numerous terrorist plots have been thwarted, saving many American lives. And then they go on to say extremism, extreme talk is now aiding Al-Qaeda. And so it makes this bridge. And if you read deeper into this, that they're going to, you know, use the NDAA, the military, basically against the American people. And as we know with the MIAC and Homeland Security reports that law enforcement sent me 3 years ago, none of this has to do with foreign threats or Al-Qaeda and all this talk. It's always about Tea Partiers, Ron Paul, Bob Barr, constitutionalist. I mean, what does this signify as a constitutional lawyer and expert?
Well, it shows that the Constitution has been vandalized by the government, and the government needs to be held accountable. And it turns, I say, the idea of the republic on its head. The glory of a republic is liberty. The individual is the center of our constitutional solar system. In an empire, what we've got today, big government encroaching on all of our liberties is the earmark, and dominion and domination is the so-called glory of an empire. So we're so far away from the Constitution as it was drafted and understood and celebrated 220 years ago, that we might as well be King George III. The President of the United States at present enjoys more authority than King George, who we overthrew because of his tyrannical powers in 1776. That is where we are. The Constitution has been so defaced, it's been so warped to just empower the government to encroach and stamp and destroy our liberties. And now when they're suggesting freedom of speech, the freedom to criticize the government, which should be welcomed since the government errs so often, they need instruction rather than echo chambers, is now being made suspect. And indeed, we had the situation when the Patriot Act was passed shortly after 9/11, where the then Attorney General said anybody who criticized the Patriot Act was aiding and abetting the enemy. You know, it's this delusion that causes President Obama to say he doesn't understand why people in Afghanistan or Pakistan are trying to kill our soldiers just because we're trying to shoot them, you know? Maybe it's because if we stop shooting them, then they wouldn't be protesting with violence. And maybe if the government obeyed the Constitution, they wouldn't get the extreme speech. And I don't want to suggest that we're at the precipice of justifying, you know, violent revolution. But we never should forget that in that Declaration of Independence that Thomas Jefferson wrote and all of our founding fathers subscribed to, it says, when a government evinces a consistent train of action that displays an intent to reduce us to vassals, there's not only a right, a duty to change and overthrow the government and to supply a new dispensation that will protect our liberties. And the government's got to recognize you cannot continue to try to oppress all of our opportunities to speak and argue and to display total and complete opposition to what we think are vandalizations of our constitutional rights and expect to retain power. One of the things that I think is most unfortunate because of the historical ways in which it was, some respects, was discredited, we need to go to the impeachment power. You know, Congress needs to stand up to the plate. The members should be impeached themselves if they're not honoring the Constitution, and any president of the United States who says that he can use the military to arrest us because he says that he suspects we're substantially aiding now Al-Qaeda or Taliban, we don't have a right to rebut it. There's no trial. There's no accusation. We just get to rot.
Yeah, why would Congress
should not stay?
There's several questions here, but it's all intriguing and is the big issue of the day. Why would the Congress try to give the president the power of a dictator? Ron Paul, the congressman, the presidential candidate, was on my radio show last Tuesday. And the video of it's gone around the web. It's been seen millions of times. It's radio/TV. And he said, basically what you've said, but he said the NDAA, the National Defense Authorization Act, establishes martial law in this country. And that's what Jonathan Turley said. That's what basically what you've said. And literally more than 200, if you go to Google News and type in Ron Paul Alex Jones from that interview, more than 200 newspapers, CBS, ABC TV, basically said Ron Paul's an extremist and dangerous. And groups said that's why he's being kicked out of the upcoming debate. This shows why he's so off track. Meanwhile, it's all over the news that they're putting military on the streets in Illinois and Louisiana. It's on CNN 2 days ago. They're calling for troops to stop crime. The TSA setting up checkpoints now on highways in Tennessee and other areas. This is all happening. They're saying they're going to do this. And then Ron Paul says, look, the emperor wears no clothes, and they howl that he's nuts. I mean, this is a weird paradox where everything you've warned about, he's warned about, others have warned about for decades is now manifesting, and they're separately pushing military on the streets, but then saying Ron Paul's crazy because he doesn't want it, because it doesn't exist. I mean, what is this?
Well, it's what Samuel Taylor Coleridge called a temporary suspension of disbelief. It's really Orwellian is the only word I can think of it. You know, call Ron Paul an extremist for defending and honoring the Constitution of the United States, and the non-extremists are the ones who are in favor of destroying the rule of law and imposing a government that we overthrew 220-some years ago called Great Britain with a monarch? I mean, it's hard to even have words to describe, you know, the absurdity of the characterization. Ron is the one who would have been there at the Battle of Bunker Hill. You know, these guys would have all been with the Tories and with the king. And it is an example, however, that those who are in power don't want to yield it. And power corrupts absolutely. And you indicated, well, why has Congress crowned the president with such overwhelming authority? I say it's because Congress has become the invertebrate branch of government. And it wants to surrender all authority to the president because it doesn't want to be held accountable for anything. They feel they have cushy jobs. They get the money to come, you know, to pay them their campaign expenses. And they'll sit there and act like they're in a movie. And they enjoy the momentary thrill of getting on television or radio from time to time. But they do not want accountability. They want to run away from accountability. That's why every time you come to a crunch where you're going to have to decide whether you're really going to cut government back, what is Congress do? Kick the ball down the road. 2 months, 6 months, 7 months, but never actually doing anything other than postponing today. It's like a little kid procrastinating. And that's the one element I believe the founding fathers were just stunned. They didn't think a branch would surrender power. But I think the reason why they misconceived how this has evolved here in 2011 is that the political parties have replaced the Constitution as the source of the allegiance of these members of Congress. They believe they're Democrats or Republicans, Dallas Cowboys, Washington Redskins, or New Orleans Saints, but they're not American. Now, it's just their side, and they play like this is really just a game. It's not for the people of the United States, and that's why, hey, as long as their guy's in power, hey, give them all the power that you want, because that'll help you in the next election cycle, and it happens on both sides. And we've got to get rid of that idea. There's only one oath that members of Congress take. That's to the Constitution of the United States.
Sir.
They do not take an oath to the Republicans or Democrats or the president. The Constitution alone.
Let me go back to this question. I want to get into Ron Paul briefly before you got to go. I know you're very busy, sir. You're heading up a lot of the campaign policies and things and supporting Congressman Paul. But, Bruce, looking at this, and I mean, really working in government, being around these people for decades, studying it, why are they moving so quickly? I mean, even I am shocked by the speed of it, and I've been seeing this develop for a while. People said, oh, you're being extreme, but now it's moving faster than I even thought. And I'm, instead of getting chills once a week of concern, I'm getting them every 30 seconds. I mean, I can feel the tyranny rising, not just see it. I can, you know, intellectually, it's right there, but also in my gut. Why is the system moving at light speed towards total despotism, classical, naked, on fire, North Korean style, you know, Kim Jong-il is God, Obama is God, anybody who doesn't like it's an enemy. What is driving this?
Well, it's a unique and curious feature of empire that as actual danger diminishes, the sense of crisis climbs. And there becomes this idea that, oh, we're super powerful, we're big government. There should be no risk at all. We need to control everything that moves, even though the genuine danger is close to zero. And that's just in the human species. When you give someone uncontrolled, unlimited power, they want to destroy any element of risk or contingency whatsoever. And they do that by exerting authority. Police, military, courts, money, or otherwise, taxation, regulation, or something like that. And that's what, that is what you would call the pathology of empire. Says this is crazy. Take a look, Alex, at this NDAA. When does it pass? 10 years after 9/11. 9/11, we had some fog. We didn't know whether Al-Qaeda had penetrated the country. Now, we know how insignificant they are. They're international criminal thugs, but there are 50 of them in Afghanistan, and there are no cells in the United States. So why are we creating this draconian authority 10 years after we know it's irrelevant? And also think of this, Alex. There were no congressional hearings on the NDA. Not one. It emerged out of the Senate Armed Services Committee. Lindsey Graham, John McCain. It didn't go to judiciary. It didn't go to intelligence. There was not a single congressional finding that any of these authorities were necessary to make us safe. It just appeared. So you have to ask, you know, this is really stunning.
Well, that's like the Super Congress, where this committee of 12, with the president as the 13th, you know, I guess Merovingian leader or whatever, they just come up with a policy, and then you could up or down vote it, and then it kicks back if you don't. But what do you make then of all these moves towards Iran? I mean, is that just another desperate way to try to make themselves be the heroes of the people, claiming they're knocking out some new threat?
Well, absolutely. You can. The drum beats are already there. The Secretary of Defense, Panetta, had said just a couple days ago on CBS News, oh, less than a year, Iran will certainly have a nuclear weapon, and that is simply not acceptable. So he's trying to already create the justification for going to war. And then I ask, well, you know, Mr. Panetta, I was alive at the Cuban Missile Crisis. We have a retaliatory capacity that could incinerate Iran and then the Soviet Union. Doesn't deterrence work? It worked against the Soviets. They had huge number of missiles. And when you talk about, well, Iran is the only people in the history of the world, deterrence doesn't work. They all crave self-destruction. I said, well, is that true? This Islamic regime, as zany and erratic as it is, they did release our hostages after a long, prolonged negotiations. They didn't go to war. They ended the war with Saddam Hussein over Iraq. They negotiated reparations when we shot down a plane by USS Vincennes.
And they've now accepted Israel, the U.S., and England launching covert strikes, including now it's coming out, aircraft covert bombings, missile bases, you name it. They've even put up with that, and it's clear the West's strategy is to poke them until they do something.
Yeah, I mean, including assassinating their scientists. So they're like, you know, listen, North Korea engages in rational, you know, behavior as well, even though it's got crazy leaders there. So deterrence works. So why are we going in there? And it's not to encourage proliferation. You know, I'm not happy Pakistan has a nuclear weapon. I'm not happy North Korea has a nuclear weapon. I'm not happy they're nuclear weapons at all. But we have to deal with reality out there. Yeah. And deterrence is the way you prevent this from being used in a reckless way. There's only one country in the world that's ever actually used nuclear weapon. It's called the United States of America.
Republican frontrunner, presidential candidate Ron Paul. Even mainstream media admits he's in second, third, and in some cases first place. And of course, in national polls, he's the only person who can beat President Obama. And he joins us today. Congressman, thank you for coming on.
Thank you, Alex. Good to be with you again.
It's good to have you with us. There is so much happening. I've got a lot of questions, but what is most important, Congressman, right now on your radar?
Well, it's continuing to do what I've been doing. You know, a lot of people say, well, what's your strategy? What are you going to do differently? And you know me well enough that probably the last 30 years, especially the last 10 years since we've known each other, I do the same thing over and over again, but I try to improve not only the delivery, but the message always stays the same. But we get better organized. So we'll continue to do that. And the big thing now is these next 3 weeks. I mean, you know how much energy we put into Iowa and New Hampshire, because, you know, it offers an opportunity. It's a smaller state, and you can meet a lot of people, and you can do direct mail. So we've done our very, very best. We think we're in a good position, but we're going to work right up until, you know, the caucuses occur on the 3rd, and then, of course, the primary in New Hampshire on the 10th. But it's unbelievable how much volunteer work we're getting, and there's so much work going on outside of the campaign. It's so fantastic. So I believe that could be our secret weapon, that nobody measures the amount of activity going on outside the campaign. But we're going to continue to do exactly what we're doing with a lot more energy.
And they continue to try to sell this mind game or this self-fulfilling prophecy that even though he wins all these straw polls and even though he's always a top-tier candidate, you still can't have him. But I think that hoax is really beginning to backfire on them.
Yeah, I don't know how long they can get away with. You know, if Newt wins Iowa, you know, he's a shoo-in for the whole nomination. If I win, it's a total fluke, and I'm just a troublemaker and a spoiler. But we still have to prove ourselves under the circumstances of the disadvantages with the mainstream media. But we know where we stand. We know what we have to overcome. And I think we're doing a very good job on this. And no matter how they spin it, there's a limit to how much they can spin it. You know, even when they give me 90 seconds, actually, we've been able to turn that around and turn it into a positive. When you see guys like John Stewart and others, you know, just mocking, you know, the unfairness of the system. So we have to keep plugging along. That's all.
They've tried to ignore you. Now that's failing. The attacks are beginning. Do you think that it's going to do the same thing again and boomerang back on them because the mainstream media and political system is so discredited?
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, in a way, even though, you know, the kingmakers and the mainstream media and the establishment people are gunning, you know, the other candidates, have you noticed that they're a little less aggressive? They're more aggressive against each other than they are against me, because I think they know the significance of the number of people, and they're not going out of their way to offend. They say, oh, there's just a couple percent. There's 7 or 8%. But they're being a lot more cautious because they know our percentages are much higher and we can play a significant role, and they're being a little more cautious at least.
If you were to, you know, go after Obama more, pretty much run against Obama, transcend the other Republican minions and point out, as you have, that they're basically just rhino Republican versions of that, and point out that you've pointed out the real problems and are the only candidate that has any shot at trying to turn the ship around.
Well, actually, I think that is good strategy, because I wish we had more polling, honest polling, with my name against Obama, because, you know, we appeal to a lot of independents and even some of the more sensible and honest liberals, you know, the progressives that are anti-war. So I think what you're suggesting is very good, and I would have to admit I don't do enough of that. And it's a mixed bag. Politically, I think that is very, very good, and he deserves it, and that's who ultimately you have to run against. But in the primary, I'm not running against him. And I also like to be as upfront as possible. You know, when it comes to analyzing our tragedies and the foreign policy and monetary policy and the economic foolhardiness of it, and, you know, they've been going on for a long time, and it's both parties. But I should at least be more bipartisan and condemn Obama just as much as I criticize some of the things Republicans have done over the years as well.
Look at Mitt Romney, his voting record, Obamacare. He is a Republican Obama. Vote in another Obama. Or look at Newt Gingrich. He's for carbon taxes, Obamacare-style stuff. He is another Obama. And so basically, A, it's a vote for Obama because either one of those guys is going to beat Obama. But B, it's a vote for Obama because they're just clones of him, just with a little bit different rhetoric. I think that is the secret weapon, Congressman.
Yeah, and I got a little bit out of it, but probably not as sharp as I could have or what you might have done. But, you know, in the debate the other night, I said the two of them are totally on the defensive. They're defending their record. I mean, how can they lead our party if they're defending themselves for not being, you know, for having been like Obama all along? So that is the big issue. And I think probably, you know, Gingrich has been pretty aggressive in that light. So maybe that's one of the reasons he got bumped up a bit. So that's not a bad advice at all.
RonPaul2012.com. It is absolutely essential. Obviously, everybody go out and get ready to try to be delegates. Everybody hit the ground in Iowa. I know I have family who's actually gone to Iowa. So there is a massive grassroots operation. All the different ways people can get involved are at ronpaul2012.com. I want to go back to the campaign here in a moment, sir, but they've obviously tried to keep you with 89 seconds in the CBS debate and other places from actually talking about the real issues. And instead, they'll ask you, what do you think of Newt? What do you think of Mitt? So they can basically still give you time and not get caught censoring you, but they still censor you in another way. What do you have to say about that?
Well, I mean, that's been ongoing, and I've lived with that for a long time. I have to be on guard for it, but and try to distract them from it. But that's ultimately their goal, is to make a subtle, if not blunt, assumption that, well, you can't win, and therefore we shouldn't pay a whole lot of attention to you. But the only way we can ultimately overcome that is success in Iowa. You know, as a beginning point, you know, if we do really well there, they're going to have a lot harder time doing that to us.
I saw the Republicans here in Austin are going to protest Eric Holder, the attorney general, today because he wants the UN to oversee our elections. And I agree, that's certainly out of control and treasonous. But this is the guy caught perjuring himself, and the memos CBS released last week show that they said they were going to blame the guns in Mexico on the Second Amendment. Is that not a form of false flag against our most basic of rights, sir? And what would you do, if president, to people like Eric Holder?
Well, he should be immediately fired, and then there should be an investigation and find out if charges should be made. And that's obviously over the top. And all these kind of sting operations and false flag, this is criminal. And I think they do it constantly. I think they were doing that when there was this so-called attempt to kill the Saudi or the Iranian ambassador. You know, that kind of stuff is just way too much. But no, they should be investigating. And you know, that's one thing I think the government House committee is doing a pretty good job of investigating that. But I don't know whether charges will be made, but he deserves to have charges, you know, up against him.
Well said, and you got it right the first time. The claim of the used car sales and wanting to kill the Saudi ambassador, and even mainstream media had to admit that was totally phony and a pretext to attack Iran.
Yeah, that was the real excuse to blame it on them, and we know that is you know, I just wonder about that, whether that guy will ever get tried, because if he does, maybe the truth will come out. And sometimes they won't try these people because they don't want the truth to come out. So it's just another propaganda stunt, as far as I'm concerned.
Now they want to go after Syria. It's now admitted the U.S., Israel, and others are staging giant military attacks inside Iran. What do you make of Congress not being consulted on that?
Well, unfortunately, that's been happening for a long time, and Congress is just totally negligent on this. And, you know, the other night when they were talking about this in the debates, you know, on what the president's responsibility is when they, you know, shoot down or are able to get one of our drones. And the argument was, should we go in and get it, or should we just go in and destroy it? And I tried to get attention on that. My suggestion would be, why don't we avoid it by not sending drones over a sovereign nation just looking for a problem to start another war? I mean, they never talked about, you know, the lack of wisdom of having been over there and losing a drone over a foreign nation, which we consider an enemy. I just think that is it's a reflection of a policy that has to be changed.
We are under chemical and biological attack. A scientific dictatorship sought to not only overthrow nation states, but to destroy the family and the human species itself. All of us are under attack. The global technocrats launch their assaults through covert means, through our water and food supplies, as well as household items, food packaging, prescription and over-the-counter drugs. All of these systems used to deliver their covert Trojan horse payloads of control. If we are unsuccessful in stopping these technocratic madmen, humanity as we know it is a thing of the past. The report that you are about to see documents this horrific fact in detail. What you do with the information is up to you. You have been warned. The information that you are about to see and hear is some of the most important info that you will ever witness in your life. I can say that unequivocally. And I am begging you, for the sake of you and your family and for our human family, to please take notes, to check the different documents and news articles that we're going to show you here today, and prove to yourself that we're telling you the truth. In fact, we're only scratching the surface. There is a private global corporate government now operating in the open that is based on the quack science of eugenics. And to put that in a pop culture context, or something the general public will understand, Hitler was a eugenicist. And he got his ideas from scientists in England and the United States. Now, the robber barons, like the Rockefellers, that funded Hitler early on in the Kaiser Wilhelm Institute, still control this nation and much of the world today. And the entire development of modern sciences through large tax-free foundations and government funding and DARPA that President Eisenhower warned us about has been in the direction of basically creating an artificial habitat, an artificial system where the scientific dictators, or the technocrats as they call themselves, play God over us and manipulate us. They see us as lab rats, as guinea pigs. Now, in the last decade, I've talked a lot about eugenics, really for more than 16 years on air, but intensely for 10 years or more. And in the different documents that we're going to show you here, we found the UN documents, the Planned Parenthood documents, the World Population Organization documents, where they openly discussed breaking up the family, getting rid of the, quote, arcane institution so they could have their international collectivist system, shutting down all competition against the ultra-rich. That is the system that we face as a society. And I'm going to go over some of those documents. But up front, I want to just say this. The system is scared to death of this information. 3 years ago, they had a bunch of different George Soros-affiliated and Democratic Party-affiliated groups come out against me and really simplify straw man that they'd built, and go after me by saying, Alex Jones says the government is putting chemicals in your food and water to make you gay. What I had actually said was, bisphenol A alone, that's in thousands of plastic products, printer ink, you name it, is lowering male fertility, is a estrogen mimicker, and is feminizing boys and men and hyper-feminizing women, and has been linked in major studies to breast cancer and other cancers. It is devastating our society. And these hormonal disruptors are actually running off into the lakes, streams, and rivers and confusing the sexual reproduction of nutria rats, rodents, fish, turtles, you name it. This is a toxic waste, and it is added to our water, it is added to our food, it is added through the plastics that are in almost everything to our daily lives to reduce our fertility. Now, I want to show you first this document. This is from Planned Parenthood to the president of the Population Council that was tied in with the United Nations. And in it, they break down in 1969 plans to lower population and destroy the family. A, postpone or avoid marriage. B, alter image of ideal family size. Demonize having more than one child. Compulsory education of children. They mean brainwashing. Now listen to this one. Encourage increased homosexuality. Here's another one. Educate for family limitation. Fertility control agents in water supply. And the current White House science czar, John P. Holdren, is on record in multiple books calling for this as well. And I got news for you. It's going on now. You are being forcibly drugged with toxic chemicals. Hundreds of them are added to the water supply, including radioactive isotopes, not just sodium fluoride, that gives you a sevenfold increase in cancer. They have gone absolutely ape over the fact that I'm talking about this, because it hits at the core of how these scientists are playing God. Okay? This is not saying that people in the Roman times, some of them weren't gay or whatever. This is not about a moral issue. This is about to reduce population, giving men estrogen mimickers so that they're not attracted to women and so they are less fertile or infertile. But on the other side, it's making girls go into puberty at 9, 10 years old, many of them now at 5. I've seen some articles as young as 3. This is all over the Western world. The United States has the highest cancer rates, especially in women and breast cancer. It basically accelerates the aging process to simplify it. It does a bunch of other horrible things as well. It causes deformities in utero, causes more abortions, women to have miscarriages. And that's what this document gets into. It says compulsory abortion for out-of-wedlock pregnancies, compulsory sterilization of all who have had 2 children. What do you see in China? Our government went over there in the 70s, made a deal with the U.S. government and the U.N. to industrialize China and finance them if they do this. And now I see articles where they have forced abortions, where they're arresting people or taking their property if they have more children than the state says they can have. China is the model of the world. Break out of this matrix. Realize that you live in a controlled society and an artificially constructed civilization that is designed to dehumanize you and strip you of what it is to be a human. Taking over our very reproductive process, chemically altering men and women at an early age and even in utero. And what happens when I point this out? How does the establishment, the mainstream media, these corporate dinosaur mercenaries of propaganda, these prostitutes, how do they respond? Same way they've done for years. Last week, there were articles in CBS News, ABC News, you name it, attacking myself and Ron Paul, saying Ron Paul goes on Alex Jones's show, and Alex Jones says the government's putting chemicals in your food and water to make you gay. You see, they know people are reading that, and so they take all this research and they just turn it into, Alex says they want to make you gay. Look, Ron Paul goes on their show. When what I've really shown here is this is being done to reduce fertility, to increase cancer, and to destroy our normal gender roles. You're taking people's choices to have children away. You're taking people's choices to choose their sexual preference away. You know, they spin it and say, you're born this way. And certainly there's different variants of it. Some of it is natural, but they're artificially adding chemicals that are making rats be confused about their gender, male and female. You're being chemically altered. Here are the documents. Here's the White House science are calling for adding stuff to the water. And their answer is, oh, Alex doesn't like gay people. That has nothing to do with this. This is about science and being manipulated by a technocracy that's playing God. The Centers for Disease Control has come out after public pressure and after scientific pressure and admitted that what's in the printer ink and the receipt ink and on the money and in thousands of products, TV dinners, you name it, toilet paper that people are touching is an estrogen mimicker and was chosen out of thousands of different varieties to be a chemical in the environment to reduce fertility and to basically turn men into servile creatures. The globalists just want to subdue the population so they can engage in chemical and biological warfare against us. Our water, our food, it's all being manipulated. And it's admitted now that the majority of water supplies in the U.S. have high levels of Prozac, high levels of female hormones, high levels of hundreds and hundreds of other chemicals that are, quote, runoff. The problem is I've seen the major studies. In some cases, this stuff is 200, 300, 400 times higher than it could be from sewage runoff. It's being added to the water. There's a reason the American people and the people of Western Europe will put up with such incredible tyranny. It's because we've been chemically and biologically manipulated. And you find out what it's doing to people. It is mind-boggling. This is a Holocaust that's going on.